Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome aboard, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air, broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio. After a few days of Thanksgiving reprieve, we're glad to be back with you. The opening segment of our show every day is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Today is no different. Great place for a holiday catering. Great place to take your family for a wonderful meal. We appreciate everything that Dickey's does. And so it ends the first season of the Huff era. Golden Eagles start the year out winning two of their first four, then five straight wins, and the unicorns were dancing, and the cheerleaders were cheering, and there was nobody on the bridge of despair. And then comes three straight losses to end the season, 7-5 to end the year, relatively close loss. To a competitive Troy team Saturday afternoon, and again, the Eagles lose their final three games of the season. So let's go around the horn. We're going to hear from Coach Huff a little later in the program. Marshant Kenny gives us his final observations of the year. But first, let me go to my buddies here. And 7-2 at one point, Kelly Santer, can you put your finger on what changed in the last 3 weeks?
Level of competition. For one, the inability to they played an easier schedule, I think, the first half of the season, a little tougher, you could argue. And as I look at the look on Dima's face, he's ready to argue that. The inability of the defense to consistently create turnovers and the inability to run the football. Like those are three big ones right there. And I think it's only appropriate that as I look out the window, it's cloudy and overcast because it's disappointing. I mean, you just can't say it any other way. You could, but I'm just saying on a family show, it was very disappointing finish to the season.
Dama, what happened the last 3 weeks?
Well, I don't think it was schedule at all. I don't think South Alabama is any better than Arkansas State or Troy is better than Arkansas State because Arkansas State beat both those teams. I think running the ball, not an inability to create turnovers, and we really don't know the full health of Braylon Braxton down the stretch, I think, was the biggest turn of the season. And when you think about all three of those games, it was just missed opportunities in all three of them. Now, Texas State was kind of the outlier where Texas State came out and just waxed Southern Miss for the entire game. But like South Alabama, you know, getting in a 35-7 hole against a 3-7 team, just puzzling. Last week against Troy, so many opportunities to take control of that game. You think about in the start of the game, they have the ball at the 50 like three times and don't even get a first down. Right after after halftime, Troy comes out. They go for it on their own 35-yard line. Southern Miss stuffs them. That felt like, to me, the momentum shifter right there. And what does Southern Miss do? They go four plays minus 9 yards and punts. And I thought that to me was that to me was just like when that happened, I was like, they're going to lose.
Here's something that was really concerning to me, too, going down the stretch. We talked 3 weeks ago about how the Eagles could clinch the Western Division before Troy even came to town. Yep. That didn't happen. Yep. All right. Then eventually it came down to the game. That didn't happen. They had their plate in front of them. All they had to do was their own dirty work.
Right.
And not only did they not do it, they failed miserably.
And that's something that I wrote on HubCitySpokes.com, which you can follow all my coverage there. But I said Southern Miss lost the West. They didn't have it taken from them. They lost the West.
Yeah, there's a difference between being beaten
because, like,
and losing.
If they would have won two out of the last three and lost a tiebreaker or something, I don't know, you know, whatever. But they were in complete control after that Arkansas State game. Two games ahead of Troy, two games ahead of Arkansas State. They only needed, theoretically, to win one game.
Well, they had a two-game lead with three games left to play.
Right, yeah. Right. And so
it was all there before them.
Right.
And all any team wants is the ability for them to do their own bidding.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it.
And I think that's why it's so disappointing to fans, because it's like, and this is the debate that a lot of people are going to have trouble wrapping their heads around. The debate is, was this season an underachievement?
Well, let's talk about that. I'm gonna say that I agree with everything both of you guys said. I'm as disappointed as anybody. You had the world in front of you, and you can't follow up. But overall, I think back to the last 3 years and how abysmal they were, and last year, how embarrassing it was. So at the start of the year, if someone would have said you can win seven games your inaugural year under a new coach, would you take it? Everyone would have said yes. I don't think anyone could argue that they would have said yes at the time, but you're right. Your point's well taken. The way in which it happened is what has created, I think, the degree of underachievement that maybe people are feeling. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Go ahead, Kelly, because I probably have a longer answer to this that I don't want to take up.
And I was going to make one more point before I give my answer, and I thought this is really poignant. A couple of times this weekend, I was listening to people who were not regular Southern Miss fans or didn't come to a lot of games or indeed from Troy fans. But some of the Southern Miss fans that were there who were home for holiday break, you know, younger people and were in for Thanksgiving with their families, a lot of them said the same thing to me. They said, man, I came to this game expecting a raucous crowd. You guys are playing for they're not necessarily Southern Miss fans. You're playing for the Western Division Championship. I thought there'd be a raucous crowd. I thought it would be very spirited, that the players would look inspired. And they said, none of it. The crowd wasn't raucous. There just was no atmosphere whatsoever. And then the team went out and played the way they did. They were very surprised. I agree with your point, Bob. I know Dima's probably going to have something else to say about it. But I think it came down to expectations. All right, yes, last year, but it's apples and oranges because that was then and this was now. You had a new coach coming in with a winning reputation, a winning resume, with winning players.
Right.
All right, so if you use that as an expectation, it could be argued that it was a little bit disappointing. And then when you look at any varsity team in any sport, one of the questions you ask is, how many seniors do they have?
A lot of seniors. I was stunned at the start of the game when I saw them all on the field, how many there were.
And you would expect, generally, that the more seniors you have, the more successful you're going to be.
Right.
So it could be argued that it wasn't necessarily.
A couple of minutes left, Damon. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is the problem, I think, with a lot of the thoughts process right now. There's a lot of people out on Southern Miss's, you know, Twitterverse, whatever, however you want to say it, who are saying that this is a great season, 1-11 to 7-5. Here's why I think you cannot point to that 1-11 season and say that it's an improvement to the 7-5 season. Because Charles Huff did not have Ethan Crawford out there snapping the football with that offensive line from last season. He didn't have that defense from last season and got that team to 7-5. He had 80 new players. It's a completely different team, right? You had Braylon Braxton, Sunbelt Offensive Player of the Year preseason. You have, you know, all those receivers they brought in, the entire new defense, totally new coaching staff. And I think Bob's right where he said that nobody in the beginning of the season would have been disappointed with seven wins in a bowl game. But I think the way that it happened is why that fans might feel like this is an underachievement. And it goes back to the argument that Southern Miss fans have been making for the past 10 years, that Southern Miss has consistently underachieved throughout this tenure of coaches that they've been on, from Munkin to Hobson to Hall to now Huff. Not saying Huff is an underachiever by any means. This was an incredible season. I stand by that. But it's Southern Miss being put into position to finally get back to where they think they should be, finally doing it and losing it. And that to them, to Southern Miss fans at least, is something that even with bringing Huff here still happened. And I think Southern Miss fans at the end of the day are just kind of putting their hands up thinking, when is it going to change? And I'm not saying that's not a referendum on Huff or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this is something that Southern Miss fans have expected to see for the past 10 years. Yes, the last 3 years were just almost outliers. But if you look at all the Jay Hobson years, 6-5, 6-7-5, 8-4 maybe, didn't make it to the conference championship game.
And what was interesting to me, too, is I was walking to my car, and a Southern Miss fan said to me, 7 wins wasn't disappointing. 5 losses is.
Well, yeah, and when 3 of them are at the end of the season,
yes.
Have those losses been spread out through the course of
exactly.
the year? And maybe you'd have won the last game of the year. I think everybody would have been going, man,
sure.
this has been a good – this has really been a good year.
And really, you guys, the last 3 games were not competitive.
No.
Not really.
I mean,
against not great teams.
Right, and I agree with you because I didn't agree with Kelly's point there at the beginning because I don't think South Alabama was any good. But the thing is
– they were playing better at the end of the
sure,
year, and
sure.
Troy was too.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish up.
I was just going to say one more thing on it is that what Bob said is completely accurate. If Southern Miss was, 6-4 going into the last game, they won 7-5, get to a bowl game, yeah, that's great. But I think it's the fact that they lost it.
3 in a row, yeah.
They lost their bid.
And weren't competitive in it.
All right, so what happens next? We're going to hear from Charles Huff. We're going to hear what he said about this being a disappointing year. And then is he moving on? I mean, there's rumors even to that effect here
swirling.
on a Monday. We'll be right back. Lots to talk about on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Eagle Hour, Super Talk Mississippi. We're glad you're with us. This segment sponsored by Eagle Tire. That's where former baseball star Matt Warren works, and he invites you to see him and his staff for premium Goodyear products. Full-service auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters, as is MCS Home Center. That's where you go for home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden. It's available at MCS Home Center in Bellevue, and it's a great place to do some Christmas shopping as well. And on a personal note, I want to really thank Hank Lott and his wife and their family for being so kind to the Eagle Hour here the last 3 or 4 ball games, inviting us to sit with them, and was good food and good friendship, Kelly, and despite the outcomes, a real treat and grateful to them for that.
And they insisted, even with me there, that people stay when they wanted.
Well, that's because, Kelly, I heard a lot of people, they would walk in the suite and go, is Kelly here? And some of them turned around and left.
Well,
I didn't know why.
But so. For the most part, they stayed only because Melinda was so sweet.
I think the word crude came up again.
I think it's my middle name. It's getting to be my middle name.
All right, so how did it all end up, guys? Let's look at the Eastern Division of the league now that the season is officially over. And I think the three of us can all agree that James Madison is the class of the league, 11-1. And
23-point favorites against Troy.
Well, I can understand that. Old Dominion had a good year, 9-3, 6-2 in the league. They finished second. Any other year, they might have won. Coastal, 6-6, 5-3, and fires their coach. That came or supposedly going
they did. Yeah.
And it reminded me of that lock of the year that Kelly was saying that Coastal would beat JMU in the end
of
the season.
He was big on Coastal.
What was
Coastal.
The final score of that game?
He was
game?
Big on Coastal.
I don't know, but remember when I said that, the circumstances were completely different than when we actually got
all
to
right.
game time.
Georgia Southern, mediocre, 6-6. Marshall, 5-7. App State, 5-7. Georgia State, don't know why they're in the Sun Belt. 1-11. They add nothing.
Hey, you guys talked about JMU and all these coaching searches that's going on, and as the carousel turns, I really find it interesting that Bob Chesney's name at
JMU. He got hired at UCLA today.
Oh, he did. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
UCLA hired Bob Chesney as of an hour or so ago.
In the West, Troy wins it again. This is like 3 years in a row, isn't it?
No. Well, not last year. Two out of the last three.
8-4, 6-2. Southern Miss finishes second, 7-5, 5-3. Arkansas State.
Who we
6-6.
Beat.
6-6. Louisville. Arkansas State. Louisiana 6-6. Texas State 6-6. Big disappointment there, I think. So long to them. They're headed out west. South Alabama, 4-8, one of those wins against you-know-who.
Who we still haven't beaten in football.
And Monroe has a bad year. They go 3-9. Started out a little better, but fell apart.
Bryant Vincent, the head football coach there, got the AD job dumped on him at the last minute.
So strange.
That's a lot.
So here's my first question. Adema, they're 9 bowl-eligible teams.
Yeah.
Are all 9 going to get bowl games?
Yeah. Yep. Each one of them should. And I'll have a story out later this afternoon on the 5 top places for Southern Miss to go. Right now it's looking pretty safe to bet they will be heading down to the New Orleans Bowl, if I had to guess, but we'll see.
Who would they play? You got any idea?
It's looking like Kennesaw State. Against
Western Kentucky, I've heard mentioned.
Yeah, we've heard Western Kentucky as well.
Yeah. All right, so let's get back. First of all, let's hear what Coach Huff said. Damon, you were in the locker room. The demeanor, you can describe it and set this up.
Yeah, it was definitely a different demeanor than any of the other games, because now that they know that they can't compete for a Sun Belt championship game, definitely changed the demeanor in the press conferences after the game. But here's what Coach Huff had to say about a winning culture he has initiated here at Southern Miss.
Won 7 games, you know, with a team that had not been successful. You know, and that's not a knock of any of the last year or anything. It's just the reality of it. Again, not the ceiling. I think we started to form a winning culture, right? It became an expectation. The reason why everyone's upset, the reason why everyone is kind of feeling like, man, you guys didn't take advantage of the opportunity, because we created an expectation of winning, right? That's a positive. We've created that expectation. The pressure that we've created is good. Now we've got to know how to manage that. Now we've got to know how to prepare for that better. Again, I think, you know, looking outside in, this community should be smiling, not happy, not satisfied, but they should be smiling, because they should see that things are changing. They should see the guys that are in this program are starting to flip the script, as we talked about, and there's brighter days ahead. Obviously, there's, you know, we can only get better. There's a lot we got to do between now and the bowl game to even take advantage of that. But just holistically, disappointed in the result, not disappointed in the overall broad picture of what we were able to do this year.
All right, that's Charles Huff, and you know, it's hard to argue with his logic. He said that to me actually at the start of the year, that you wouldn't judge it on wins and losses. You would judge it on how much improved you were at the start of the year than the first of the year. So that raises the question. They weren't better at the end of the year, were they?
No, I don't think so. I think the team that you saw take the field against Arkansas State 3 or 4 weeks ago, where they were able to win that game on the road, 6 turnovers, I think, in that game, just one of the best games that Southern Miss has played, you know, throughout the entire season, with all the stakes along that game. It was a completely different team on Saturday against Troy.
And he said setting the bar higher. Okay, but what we talked about a little bit earlier, the bar has been set higher because you had 20 seniors out there. Okay, now, so if you use this as the bar and you come out next year and only win 4 or 5 games, how good of a season was this really?
How bare is the cupboard going to be?
It's going to be pretty bare. I mean, it's going to be a significant roster turnover from this season to next season. And Southern Miss fans and people who followed the team all knew that because of especially the pieces that were important to this year's team turning over is another part of that. But, yeah, I mean, you just go through it. You're going to lose Braylon Braxton. You're going to lose Jeffrey Pittman. You're losing 4 starters on the offensive line. You're going to lose all your receivers. You're going
to lose. The show's over at 2, Dima, but go ahead.
You're going to lose, I think, 2 players on the defensive line. Starters, I mean.
Secondary.
Chris Jones should be back, but Michael Montgomery, you know, I believe he's a senior as well. The entire secondary, I believe, is also gone. So it's going to be a significant roster turnover and a lot of unproven players next season. And it's going to be another year where Huff's going to have to hit the portal. And one thing that was so successful this year is the players he hit in the portal became really good players. And you can't really count on that every year. Like Michael Montgomery in the portal this year, nobody thought he was going to have 100 tackles. I mean, that's crazy.
But as a punter, he just moved straight to the Claiborne, did he not?
Yeah, he got his Social Security.
Yeah, he got his check all lined up.
Medicare, he's all set.
Speaking of that, did y'all watch College Game Day on Saturday? Do y'all watch that show at all?
Every once in a while.
There was a story, this is totally off topic, but that just reminded me. There was a story of this like 55-year-old man walking on this college team and playing football. I'm not even kidding.
Did he get an NIL deal?
I don't know. But
like Geritol or something.
It was unreal. I couldn't believe it.
Instead of the physical, he had to do the mental testing. Yeah.
You know? Hey, look, a couple minutes left, and we don't want to deal in rumor, and merely everything we're about to talk about is just rumor and scuttlebutt. But there's a lot of talk about coaches moving around, and you said something very interesting that you had heard that James Franklin, who Huff worked for and spoke really highly of in my conversation with him at the start of the year. Well, Franklin has gone to Virginia Tech and flirting with Charles Huff to be his main assistant and OC there?
There is talks all over the place about Huff's future at Southern Miss, not really not confirming or denying any reports at this moment. I just think if you look at it right now, I think if he would have won yesterday, I think that he would have been more of a risk at leaving. A one and done is still pretty rare, I think, even at this level of college football that we're at. So I would just say, like, if I'm sitting here right now, I'm not expecting it. But, I mean, if you look, of course, at Virginia Tech, you know, possibility, it's just a question of, like, does he want to go from head coach to assistant coach?
I don't know. We hear he's high on the Tulane.
Yes, and then you have four AAC jobs all open. Tulane, Memphis, South Florida, and North Texas.
Interestingly, so, not Florida State, but
yeah, for real. So there's opportunity there. It's just a question of whether or not, you know, he's going to have to gauge that, you know, opportunity, because he's going to get calls. I mean, it's not like he's
got a great resume.
He's got a great resume. Yeah. He comes from the Saban coaching tree. So it's you'd be foolish not to at least consider him.
Right.
And so, but I just don't know if, like, he came here saying this is going to be the best Group of Five program in the country. So, like, why would you leave to another Group of Five school? Does that make sense? That's my only thing on the AAC jobs, other than, you know, he's probably going to double in salary.
Yeah. Well, other than that. I mean, Demon.
By the way, has LSU hired a coach? Has anyone heard?
Former Southern Miss cornerbacks coach is the Ole Miss guy.
I just, Demon, you know I love you, but I love your innocence sometime when you said, other than he'll double his salary.
Well, I said that obviously sarcastically.
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, I love these guys. Even the guy that went to LSU, well, I've got to pray about this.
Wait a second. 1 to 10. 1 to 10. 10 being a great year, 1 being a huge disappointment. Kelly Center.
6.5.
Yeah, I think I'm in that 6-6-6. Oh, I almost said it. Almost said 6-7 on the show. 5-6. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think someone on the show predicted a 7-5 record. We're gonna have to pull the tape. Wait a minute. We don't need the tape. It was me. This man was 9-2.
No, I said 8-4.
8-4, and you were 6-6.
6, right? And you don't ever have to worry about Bob Getty forgetting anything that he said, especially when he was right.
And guess what? He wins for it.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, where's the buzzer? The buzzer sound. Yeah.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody. DBAT sponsors this segment of the Eagle Hour, and now would be the time to go down there and talk to Luke Reynolds about maybe a gift card for the Pro Shop as a Christmas gift idea, maybe some gift cards to upcoming camps. A lot of good Christmas shopping is at DBAT. DBAT on Hardy Street. We appreciate everything that DBAT has done with our program throughout the year, as we do Genesis of Hattiesburg, very dear friends of ours, and the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, Genesis Sedans and SUVs, all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership. It's on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And don't forget about our podcast. That's where many of you find us. You can ask Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour, or you can just go to Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube and listen to the Eagle Hour for yourself. Hey, I want to thank Marchant Kenny for spending Mondays with us during the football season. Mondays with Marchant. Didn't you think that was really clever on my part? Mondays with Marchant. Were you impressed, Marchant?
I mean, I'm impressed. You know,
were you?
There's a future view with marketing in any facet you want to get into. I mean, Mondays with Marchant. I love it.
All right.
Love it, Bob.
All right, Marchant, we're going to ask you. Now, we want you to take away your Hall of Fame credentials for a minute, and you're just a Southern Miss football fan that answers this question. Because we ask ourselves this question earlier in the show. After the last 4 years, as a fan, are you satisfied with winning 7 regular season games? If so, why? If not, why? Marchant Kenny.
I am satisfied based on the fact, if you're looking at the last 4 years, which were pretty rough, and to say Coach Huff would have come in here and got 7 wins, that's a turnaround and a winning culture, like he said. So, yes, at the body of work, I'm very pleased. 7 wins based on the 4 years we're at.
All right. I think, and I made this point, to me the disappointment – isn't the 7 wins, but it's the fact they lost the last 3. And I think had those losses perhaps been spread out during the season, where it wasn't, you know, 3 in a row, that fans would have a different perspective of the season. Is that a fair assessment?
Now, to go into the microscope and not base it on the last 4 years and this year to really get deep with it, absolutely. It was a collapse at the end of the season, the last 3 games. It was like a brand new team we had. I don't know what happened. Defense was very disappointing for Arkansas State and Texas State. And there's no other way to put it. It was a collapse. So we're like backing into this bowl game. Don't get me wrong. We're pleased about it. But if we're going detailed on the season, no, we expected more. Nothing told me we were going to have 10 wins 4 weeks ago. And here we are backing into a bowl.
I'm curious, Marchant, just from a fan perspective, and something I said in the first segment, I don't remember if it's the first or second, one of the segments, there's something to be said about the last 10 years for Southern Miss football. And you mentioned the last 4, of course, everybody knows the Will Hall era was just a disaster, and everybody gets that. But there's something about underachieving for Southern Miss fans that I think is to be said coming into this season, or like at the end of this season. You know, think about 2015, what Tom Munkin did, got into the Sun Belt Conference USA Championship game. And the reason Southern Miss fans wanted Hobson gone is because he couldn't get them back to the Conference USA Championship game. It was 6-6, 7-5, 8-4, whatever. Of course, Will Hall comes along, and then they finally bring in a coach who you think could do it and bring them back to the Sun Belt Championship game. And yet again, and I say this, you know, it isn't anything against Coach Huff or anything like that, but for Southern Miss fans, they look at it and say, listen, they're still not, like, we still didn't make it, and we lost it. It wasn't like anybody took it from us. We lost it.
No, Dima, that's a great way to put it. And you gave a great breakdown post-game on the field at the Rock, man, about the game. You nailed it, everything you said. So you're doing great work, man. But as far as the problem with Coach Huff expecting us to be happy with 7 wins and backing into a bowl game, expectations in Southern Miss for fans are much higher than any other Sun Belt team out there because the standard was set so high. A good friend of mine a long time ago, diehard Southern Miss fan, he said, man, from about 1996 to about 2003 or 4, losing back-to-back conference games was a foreign thought. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. It was a given that Southern Miss was almost going to win the conference championship or be right there at the end. All these other teams in the Sun Belt were meddling in football, you know, doing whatever they were doing, while we were, you know, that G5 program that was the best in America. So the problem with a Coach Huff expecting the fan base to be just really happy about 7-5, it's just you teased us, man.
Here's
we got teased with a chance of 10 wins, getting back to that standard of excellence. And, you know, here we are. So, no, you're not going to have an overly happy fan base. Now, time heals all wounds, and, you know, we'll be happy to see that bowl game and bowl appearance, and, you know, we'll be cool with that, but expectations are going to be high again next year for this team.
It's interesting that you brought that up, Marchant, because I talked with a group of Troy fans who were in town Saturday, and you know, I don't meet a stranger, so I got right in there and started talking to them.
You talk to anybody, Kelly.
But what was interesting to me is this was coming from Troy fans now, and I'm paraphrasing, and they said, you know what we at Troy think your problem is at Southern Miss? And I said, do tell. They said, we don't think that you guys expect enough. Here's what one of them said, almost word for word. You guys are beginning to accept mediocrity. And he said, the Southern Miss of the old days didn't accept mediocrity. And if you expect mediocrity, that's what you're going to get. And I was about blown away. Now, again, this is coming from fans, other fans, that look at Southern Miss now saying, you are happy with mediocrity. Your thoughts on those comments?
No, I mean, I will listen to that, because sometimes what you see pumped out with marketing, what have you, it doesn't have an aggressive sense of urgency like Southern Miss football used to be. And the back of what that Troy fan said, I'll never forget, in 2003, Sporting News, you know, we were really tough to beat at the Rock. Sporting News said, you know, you don't want to go to Hadesburg because that's where teams go to die. And called Hadesburg, Hadesburg.
Right.
I mean, the standard was so high for Southern Miss football that you hear that from Sun Belt fans all the time. What's going on at Southern Miss? They expected us to come in this conference and be the James Madison, be the coastal run that they had recently. But we're just not there yet, man. And to just be happy with a bowl, I'm sorry, we're not just going to be happy. Don't get me wrong, we're appreciative. Thanks for the turnaround. But the standards are too high to get back to excellence in football, and nothing else should be expected. You know, the younger generation like Adema, the biggest win he's seen is Kentucky in the last 9 years. You know,
2011, but yeah.
Well, I'm saying like in recent memory. You're so young, Adema. I just think you're so young. But yeah, no, I know you've seen a lot, but it's just recent memory. It's almost like, I don't know.
Right. No, that makes sense. I mean,
This Troy fan went on to say that Jared Parker, who they just won this and, you know, qualified to play in the championship game, they finished 7-5. Jared Parker, their coach, he said that there's a good chance they may fire him after winning
they
seven games.
8-4.
I don't see it. But the thing with the recency thing, and Martian, I think, just hit it, there hasn't been a class in Southern Miss football student-wise in the past 10 years that's seen a conference division championship. Not a single class.
It's
crazy when you think about that.
If there was a conference that Southern Miss was in, because they were independent up until we were independent until 96 in Conference USA, but just imagine if Southern Miss was in kind of a football conference, there would be flags and banners and bowls and conference championships. You'd have lost count by now. It just so happens we got into a conference not till 96. So it's just, you know, before me there was Eagle Fever, before that there was, you know, just all sorts of greatness, man. And just the standards are high. We got teased into possibly 10 wins, thankful for the bowl, but we're all backing into the bowl.
Conference USA used to be called Conference USM
for good reason.
Yeah, exactly, man. Right. I mean, it was just a given. You got to beat Southern Miss to win that conference. There's no choice.
I think what I said at the end of the game on that video that you're referencing, Marchand, is that it's a disappointing end to not a disappointing season. You know that. You know, you and like you said, you're almost teased. And I mean, when you think about that Arkansas State game, they very well could have lost that game too. I mean, that game came down to the final play where Arkansas State was on the 2-yard line. So it's just kind of
I know. And the unfortunate thing for us, it's like we're snake bitten at the quarterback position. We finally got this awesome quarterback in Braylon Braxton, and then this PCL injury happens, and then, you know, that did affect the psyche of the team. And when you have the undisputed leader down, and I get that, but, you know, just the way we collapse. But no, I'll be at the bowl. I know you guys will be at the bowl. We'll be fired up about being at the bowl again. And if we win that bowl, we'll coach up. Get ready for some really high expectations next year.
All right, my friend. We sure have enjoyed having you on every Monday, and we will find you before the bowl game. You still good with that?
Absolutely, man. We'll have to get a drink or two, maybe. You know,
there we go.
Down Bourbon Street. How does that sound, Kelly? Let's do that.
Imagine that.
The great Marchant Kenny. And Marchant, you're always welcome on the Eagle Hour, but you know
that. Love you guys. We'll catch up soon. Southern Miss to the top.
Marchant Kenny, everybody. When we come back, there's basketball to be played. There's a lot of basketball actually coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're going to review that and talk a little hoops when we come back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. They were packed over the weekend. Great place to go for some weekend fun. A lot of good football games still to be played, and they'll all be on the TV at 4th Street Bar and Grill. We really do appreciate everything that they do with our program. Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but the most important player on your team, you can never forget that you get an annual physical, exercise, eat well. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, right here at home. ForestHealth.org. Really appreciate them being part of the family, as we do Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street. Check out their Facebook page. Get the topping of the month. Get some delicious beignets and hot coffees when you're out Christmas shopping, and we think you'll enjoy it tremendously at Mo Bay Beignet Company. All right, basketball guys, it looks like a pretty busy upcoming schedule. December the 3rd, when is that? Day after tomorrow?
It is, as we now have flipped
the men
calendar.
Will be at Radford. I swear I thought that was a girls' school.
Radcliffe,
okay. Yeah. December the 6th at Miami, and December the 8th, they get a home game, finally, as they'll play Grambling. The women are 6, the men, by the way, are 4-3. The women are 6-2. They play at SMU tonight. They'll host UAB on December the 7th, Pearl Harbor Day. They'll be at Mississippi State on December the 14th, and then South Alabama here in Hattiesburg on December the 18th. So 6-2, the women, 4-3, the men. And Dima, you said the men right now were ranked second in the Sun Belt.
So. Yeah, so the NCAA comes out with net rankings each, you know, starting since I think 2020, they've been doing this, and basically that's the RPI of basketball, if you will. And according to it, currently Southern Miss men's basketball second in the Sun Belt, behind South Alabama, who of course is 6-1. Southern Miss 2-3, of course, but they're three losses when you think about them: Buffalo, South Carolina. You know, who's the other loss?
Grambling.
Sorry, excuse me. You know, so I guess all of that comes together to be higher in the rankings because of the amount of teams they're playing. And, of course, coming up for the men, they have more teams on that list who could qualify as good opponents for them. When you think of Miami coming up in a couple weeks, you know, they've been a historically good program. Of course, Ole Miss coming up in a couple of weeks before conference play starts. Now, on the other side, the women, to me, a little bit surprising, and at least in my head, 11th in the Sun Belt in the net rankings, even though they're 4-2. Obviously took two bad losses last weekend, but
Those were some really quality teams.
Right, yeah, number 24th, yeah, team in the country in North Carolina State. So they came in at 11th in the country, not in the country, in the Sun Belt, and they will play tonight at SMU before hosting UAB on Sunday, who they lost to last week, and then they're going to get to play at Mississippi State, which will be a lot of fun. So they have some pretty fun conference games, non-conference games coming up before conference play starts on December 20th. So
that tournament that they went to over the Thanksgiving holiday was down in Cancun. So that's a good little recruiting trip. You're going to be able to go down to Mexico and then stop at SMU on the way home.
Yeah, and then obviously now's the time for all the coaching changes, and we're going to be seeing a lot of rumors and speculation this week surrounding the Sun Belt coaches, and as we already forementioned, Coastal Carolina moving on from Tim Beck out there at Coastal Carolina. Apparently, four seasons of bowl games is not good enough at Coastal Carolina. Bob Chesney, as we forementioned at JMU, has taken the UCLA job, so JMU and Coastal both open in the Sun Belt jobs. Four AAC jobs open in North Texas, Tulane, Memphis, and South Florida, excuse me.
Yeah.
So you got four AAC jobs, and you have two Sun Belt jobs in the Group of Five open. So we'll be monitoring all that and seeing how all that shakes out over the next week or so.
I know at Coastal they've got their eyes on an assistant coach at South Carolina, is my understanding.
Very interesting.
So we'll see how that goes. But
I'm really interested to see who JMU gets because, you know, they've been cycling in these coaches. Kurt Cignetti, who's leading the number two team in the country right now at Indiana, who's very much in the national championship race. And then you have Bob Chesney, who just seemed to just do exactly what Cignetti did at JMU. And now he's off to UCLA, and hopefully it goes well for him. And who does JMU hire next?
And look, all of this is going to go very quickly because of signing day and everything else.
Signing day is on Wednesday, by the way, for Southern Miss fans to think about. Signing day on Wednesday. Low commit class, by the way, right now. Not a lot of commits in this 2026 class, at least at the early national signing period. And so we will continue to monitor that. We'll have stories, and we should have a press conference scheduled with Huff on Wednesday after everything is announced with early national signing day.
Well, let me tell you, if you looked at the senior day activities Saturday, you would hope there are a lot of commitments because they are losing a lot of players. Out of the starting 22, how many will graduate, Demo?
Wasn't it 20 out of 22?
I think it's 18.
18?
Yeah, 18.
18 out of 22 guys gone.
But you know, Bob, in this day and age,
regroup.
Going to be more the norm.
And if
than
you
the
look
exception.
At the portal, if you look at the class of Southern Miss, I think it's 9-10 commits right now for Southern Miss, which is near the bottom in the Sun Belt for the 2026 class. They're going to go heavy on this portal in January. January is going to be big for Huff for 2027. Yeah, no pressure. Six football season.
All right, that wraps it up. We'll continue to kind of break things down as we move on. Got a lot of basketball to report on as well, and. We're going to keep you informed and entertained.
And we're going to be busy.
We are. And we appreciate very much the fact that you listen to us every day. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.